That was excellent. Praise the Lord not only for the way that it was saying, but thank God for the truth that was saying. Amen. Wonderful is not just the grace of Jesus, it's matchless. Amen. There's nothing like the grace of God. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Well, you have your Bibles open, I trust, to Romans chapter number 12, and we're going to be in Romans 12 through 16 as we close out the book of Romans for some time now as we discuss the importance of relationships. And we began last week talking about relationships, and that's really what this is about. In Romans 12 through the remainder of the book of Romans, I told you in the very beginning when we began this study, this is kind of, well, the book that changed the world. Amen. The book of Romans, certainly Jesus is the person that changed the world, but the book of Romans is like the Christian Constitution. The book of Romans tells us how we ought to live as believers. It tells us why we ought to be saved. It tells us what happens when we get saved. It tells us how to get saved. It just talks about relationships with God and man, with man and man, with man and government, with Christians and the church. Just important relationships that we have in our lives. And so this morning, with the help of God, I want to zero in now on that relationship with God. That's the first relationship, that relationship with God. If you'll notice in verse number 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And so, what is it, how is it that we're going to have this proper relationship? Once we're saved, he's talking to believers. Well, he's talking to the brethren. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Once you're saved, what constitutes a proper relationship with the Lord? I'm going to give you one word, and then I'm going to break it down, and we're just going to really take, if not every word, we're going to take many of the words in verse 1 and 2, and we're going to elaborate on them. All right? Very important. The word I want to give you is lordship. I want you to write that word down. There's a lot of misunderstanding about lordship, and I'm not going to go into the misunderstanding. I'm just going to tell you the truth about it. Lordship. The lordship. Does Jesus have all of you? You have all of him in the Holy Spirit. But does he have all of you? Have you discovered what God left you here to do? That's called purpose. You're called the brethren because of pardon, but I want to talk to you about purpose, discovering your ministry, knowing why God left you here. And I'm going to give you some words that we're going to build around these words in order to find out what does God have for you. I think every person is on a quest. They want to know, why am I here? What does God have for me? What am I doing here? Right? So I asked you last week to do three things. How'd that work out for you? Did you do them every day? Did you look in the mirror and talk to the person in the mirror? Do you realize that you can't do it on your own? You can't do it on your own. We need God's help. Number two, did you get in the Word of God? Did you get in the Bible? Did you see what God's instruction? Did you get some guidance from the Lord, from the Word of God? And then number three, did you pray? And ask God to guide your steps, to help you to say things you ought to say, and maybe as important, if not more important, is help you not to say the things you ought not to say. I have more problems with that than I do the other sometimes. And so it's just important to recognize God in our life. You see, the world, they want you to go through life. There's a system out there, and we're going to talk about it. You'll notice in verse number 2, it says, be not conformed to this world. I'm not going to tell you everything that I think that means, but I am going to tell you, if it doesn't mean anything else, I'm going to show you from the Bible what it does mean. What is Paul saying here? And so we'll talk about these things. The word, again, is lordship. It's Jesus having absolute possession and control of all that you are, all that you ever hope to be. And I want to really impress that upon your heart today. The first word I'd like to start out with is the word, I want you to write this word down, request. Request. You know, usually when we think of this word, and I listen, I'm just going to be transparent with you. When I think of the word request, I almost always think about me letting my request be made known unto God.
Because that's what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, listen now, let your request be made known unto God. But did you know that here God has a request? God has a request. God speaking through his mouthpiece, the Apostle Paul. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says, I have a request for you. And here's my request. Look at it. Look at verse number 1. I beseech you. I plead with you. When you look at this word, beseech, you can trace it all the way down to the root that we get our word pray. I pray you. I beseech you. I have a request for you. I'm pleading with you. Now, why would God plead with man? You would think that man would plead with God. We need God. God doesn't necessarily need me, but I sure do need him. Why would God plead with me? Because God wants the very best for me. God wants the very best for you. God has something in store for your life. And so God is saying, I'm pleading with you. Present yourself to me so that I can unlock the potential that is in you. I want you to reach the potential that I have for you, God is saying. And so God is saying, I have a request. Did you write that word down? A request. You see, God said, I'm going to ask something of you. You see, I've done something for you, and now I'm going to ask something from you. Has God done anything for you? That is where we all probably should have stood to our feet and said, more than I deserve, preacher. God has done so much for me. And he's saying, God has done something for you. Paul knew this because he knew what God had done for him. And so he says, now God is going to ask you for something. That's not unreasonable, as we shall see here in just a moment. Actually, that is absolutely rational. It's logical that God, having done so much for me, would ask something of me. And so he said, request. I beseech you. I beseech you. I plead with you. I have a request. I'm praying that you will give your mind to this thought that I have here about giving yourself, about presenting yourself to God so God can do something in your life. You see. And so he said, I beseech you. Therefore. Now, I'm not going to go into detail. I did a little bit last week on this word, therefore. This is the fourth sectional therefore. And we said last week that we wanted to find out what it was there for. I think it's therefore because of all that leads up to chapter 12. Have you read the last three or four verses of chapter 11? Could we do that right now? Look at what Paul is saying. He's saying, by the way, I'm not asking you to present yourself to the preacher. Your preacher's weak. I'm not asking you to present yourself to the church. Your church is flawed. Now listen to me. I'm not asking you to present yourself to a mere mortal. I'm asking you to present yourself to this person. Listen to what he said in verse number 33 of chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Paul said it with exclamation. He said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Praise God, that'll make you want to click your heels. Amen. I mean, just jump up and say, hallelujah. Paul was saying this. Paul was saying, listen, this is who I'm asking you to present yourself. This is who has the request of you. The one who owns the cattle of 1,000 hill. The one who the earth is and the fullness thereof. Those in whom spoke the heavens into existence. It is Paul who said, that God am I asking you to present yourself to? So he said, the request, I beseech you. I beseech you. You know, I thought of this, and I may come back to this thought at the close of the message today. I wonder if my request that I ask of God that I don't receive could somehow be connected to God's request of me that I have not given. I want to say that again. I wonder if my request of God, my prayer request to God, has not been received because God's request of me to present myself has not been given. Amen. There may be something to that, brethren. Because here the Bible says, I want to unlock some things for you. So he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. The request. Let's look at the second word here. Reasonable. Would you write that word down? I want to give you some reasonable reasons. It's just reasonable that you would do or fulfill this request. What's the reason? Well, notice what he said here. By the mercies of God. Oh, my. Listen, when I sit down at my desk this week, I had, for the last few weeks, been sitting down and just kind of pouring through this passage of Scripture and reading commentary and praying and doing some scripture referencing, and it was just overwhelming. Most of us could do this, all right? You could sit down and think about all that God has done for you. You could sit down, I could sit down and start thinking about the mercies of God and fill up a composition book. It just goes on and on. He truly, his mercy is unlimited. Amen. But what I would like to do today is just in biblical form, sum it up into what I believe would sum up how we feel today as born-again children of God. Turn, if you would, hold your place here and turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 talks about the riches of his mercy and his grace. So hold your place in Romans 12. And turn, if you would, to Ephesians 2. I'm going to try to read through this without commentary, but I got to tell you, it's going to be hard. You talking about some good stuff. Can I tell you all the Bible's good stuff? Say amen right there with me. It's just, the Word of God is just wonderful. It's just wonderful, amen. So here's this same author writing to another church. By the way, when you read the letters of the Apostle Paul, look for this. The first parts of his letters are filled with doctrine. And the latter parts, as he begins to give his goodbyes, is filled with duty. In other words, because you know what you know, do what you do. Don't just know it, do it. And so he fills the first part of his section up. He did it in Romans. He does it in Corinthians. He does it in Ephesians. He does it all the churches, the letters that he wrote. He said, this is how you ought to believe, and this is how you ought to behave. This is how you ought to turn learning into living. See, there's a lot of folks know something about the Bible, but God's not just interested in what we know. Now, God wants us to know it, but God wants us to do what we know. Say amen with me. Yes. So he said this. He said in Ephesians chapter 2, just follow on as I read. And I'm just going to try to read through this without making commentary. It's going to be difficult. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past she walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, here it is now, who is rich in mercy. You listening to me? Paul said, I'm beseeching you. Why? The mercies of God. He's rich in mercy. Aren't you glad God is rich in mercy? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I could continue reading, and I hope when you get home today, you will read the remainder of this chapter, and you will find three key things. Number one, God sought us. Number two, God saved us. And number three, God has secured us. Brethren, the mercies of God is why we ought to present ourselves. It's the reason. So we go back now to Romans chapter 12. The first word I ask you to write down, I ask you to write down the word request. And then I ask you to write down the word reason. The word reason. I told you last week that this section is on dedication. The word dedication and the word consecration are closely fit. We hear about how we as believers, how we as Christians ought to consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. We ought to dedicate ourselves. You know, most people, when they think of dedication, they think of giving. I want to tell you what biblical consecration is, and if you don't get anything else today, I do pray that you will hear what I'm going to say right here. We've got it all mixed up, brethren. Now, please listen to me. When God asked me to dedicate myself to Him, when God asked me to consecrate myself to Him, God's not asking me to give Him anything. God is just saying, I want you to take your hands off of what already belongs to me. I'm going to say that again. God is not asking me to give Him anything. You see, I did that when I got saved. I gave God all of me when I got saved. You did too. See, I'm not my own. If you're saved, you're not your own. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says we've been bought with a price. We've been redeemed for a reason. And so when we talk about dedication and when we talk about consecration, please, please, don't think that we're saying you ought to give up and give. No. Just take your hands off what God's already purchased. Let God have His way with it. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying, as we'll see here in just a moment, in the words of living sacrifice. Take your hands off what God has already bought. You see, that sacrifice, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that's okay. That sacrifice was consumed by God. You say, I wonder if I'm a sacrifice. Ask yourself this question. Are you consumed by God? Does God consume you? Because if He doesn't, you're not a living sacrifice. You might be struggling to be brought to the altar. And so the word reason, here's the reason. Because of the mercies of God. You know, I think a good thing for we Christians to journal would just to be write down the good things that God has done for us. Pastor David was mentioning in our home, I think it was Friday, a saying that what would you have today? And I think Miss Putt had said something about this. What would you have today if the only thing you had was what you gave thanks for yesterday? Are you thankful for the mercies of God? What do the mercies of God prompt you to do? We need to really be thinking about the mercies of God. Someone has said many years ago, thinking people are thankful people. I'm afraid that we rush through life and we really don't just stop to count our blessings anymore. What a blessed people we are. What a blessed people. The first word, request. The second word, reasoned, or well, reasonable. The third word, requirement. Look what he said, requirement. What does God require? Let's look at it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. God said, the requirement is that you present yourselves. You present your bodies. You see, you become part of the brethren by presenting your heart. You become part of the living sacrifice. You become part of the right relationship with what God has for you by presenting your body. Most people stop after committing their heart. And that's why they're wandering around, wavering in the faith, aimless with direction. Because God is waiting on the presentation. I want to talk to you just for a few moments about the requirement. The requirement. Notice the word present there. It's not force. Someone shouldn't have to force me to my ministry. Someone shouldn't have to guilt me to serve God. Amen. You don't serve God because of fear. No. You see, these things are not purposes of what God is asking for here. I want to talk to you. Notice the way that it ends here now. Notice that two times he uses this word, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, look at that next word, acceptable unto God. I want to know what's acceptable unto God, not the preacher, not the church, amen, certainly not the world. I want to know what is required of me that is acceptable unto God. Notice again in verse number 2, that you may prove what is that good, look at it, and acceptable, right? Acceptable. What is acceptable of God? What is acceptable of God? What does God request that is acceptable unto him? Let's look at it, all right? Look with me, if you would, in verse number 2. He said that you present your bodies. You present it. You willfully. You lovingly. Because I have a desire to serve God. I say, God, here am I. You look at those Old Testament saints when God called Abraham. Abraham. He said, here am I, Lord. He presented himself. Amen. Amen. When God calls your name, when God calls your number, do you present yourself? Has there ever been a time in your life that you presented yourself before God as a living sacrifice? I'm not going to go into great detail here. Among other things of what it means, that living sacrifice is this. Those old sacrifices in the Old Testament were dead. They were brought by another. But God said, I don't want someone else to bring you and lay you on the altar. Listen to me now. God said, I don't want someone to lay you on the altar. I want you to lay yourself on the altar. You come as a living sacrifice. You willfully, of your own doing, of your own choice, because you love me, because you have a desire to serve me. You come and lay yourself. A living sacrifice pictures an altar. Please listen to me. An altar, among other things, means a place of death. We die to ourselves and we say, God, I don't belong to me anymore. I'm yours. Do with me as you desire. Amen. I trust you. Why? If for no other reason, because I've read Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. Amen. But there's so many other reasons. I have experienced the mercies of God. And so I bring myself to the altar and I lay myself as a living sacrifice and say, Lord, I die to me, I live for you. Listen, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! What a wonderful privilege to present ourselves unto this God that I speak to you about this morning. He's real. This is real. I am not here checking a box this morning. I am not here because I have been coerced, because I have been guilted, because I have been forced, because I have something that is just kind of tugging at me against my will. I'm here because of the mercies of God and because I know that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. And I want to serve my Lord. Amen. And so he said, a living sacrifice. You know, when they would put those sacrifices on the altar, they would have them many times drenched in fluids, blood and other fluids. And they would have to take these two flesh hooks. You can read about this in the book of Leviticus. And they would take these flesh hooks and they would put them in those sacrifices to hold them on the altar. Sometimes we need something to hold us on the altar. Well, I tell you, we'll slip off if we're not careful. You listening to me? You'll hear a message like this, or you'll read a book, or you'll get in the Word of God in your private time, in your secret place, and you'll say, God, I'm going to do this, and by your grace, I'm going to do that. If you're not careful now, you'll renege on that and go back. And
Because those Old Testament officers had those flesh hooks, too, to hold them in place. I want to give you two flesh hooks. Dedication. Dedication. Discipline. Those two things. Be disciplined. Be dedicated to the cause, right? To the cause. And so, once that sacrifice was held in place, the fire of God would consume it. As I mentioned earlier, are you consumed? Are you consumed? I know when I'm consumed. When I'm consumed, me doesn't matter. When I'm consumed, you can't hurt my feelings. You say, I'm going to try. Well, don't do that. Don't make me have to test if I'm consumed or not. Hey, man. Am I right, folks? When I'm consumed, you can't offend me. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When I'm dead and to myself and alive unto Christ, when I'm consumed by God, you can't control me because I'm being controlled by another. And his name is Jesus Christ. You listening? I'm talking to you about being consumed, about being a living sacrifice, holy. Now that word, if you'll look in verse number one there, is H-O-L-Y. But that word actually comes from a word that is W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, wholly given over. God doesn't want some of you. God wants all of you. Jesus didn't pay the price for some of you or most of you. Jesus paid the price for all of me. God knows my heart with all that I have. I want to give all that I am to all that he has for me. And I pray you'd do the same. Let's move forward now. We talked about requested, reason. We talked about requirement. You know, I want to insert something right here. I'm talking to you this morning about God requesting something of you. It's ministry. Brethren, that's what the purpose of this church is. It's ministry. If you'll read the remainder of chapter 12, not while I'm preaching, you'll find that the Apostle Paul begins to elaborate on this thought right here. God has a ministry for you, and he's equipped you with a spiritual gift or gifts to carry out that ministry. Discover it, brethren. Oh, I would to God, if you could just get a hold of what God has for you. Paul's getting ready to tell us the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you, to keep me, from experiencing what God has for us. The world in whom Satan is the god of. He is the god of this world. You listening? Satan. The world's going to try to conform you. It's going to try to conform me. This is not talking to lost people. Verse 2 is talking to the same people that verse 1 is. Brethren. What does it mean, preacher? Well, let's move ahead here, all right? So he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now, we're going to get into verse 2. But before we do, when you give yourself holy unto God, it's not going to be acceptable to some. Some people's going to mock you. You listening? Some people's going to oppose you. Some people's going to criticize you. Some people's going to make jest at you. They're going to tell you how foolish you are and how you're wasting your life. You're not wasting your life. You're investing it. You're investing it into a greater cause when you give yourself wholly. And it is acceptable unto God. Did you know that friendship with this world is enmity with God? And so when we give ourselves this way unto God, there's going to be those that don't like it. So be prepared for it. Be prepared for it. Let's look at verse number 2. Well, let me say this, which is your reasonable service. I about left off a very important part here. Slow down, preacher. Reasonable. Reasonable. I want you to think about this word. The first word was request or requested. The second word, reason or reasonable.
The third word, requirement. And then he said, which is your reasonable service? I want you to write this word down. It's just rational. You know what that word reasonable service means? I challenge you to go home and look it up. Logical. It's just logical. That God has something for you. Why would God save you? Now listen to me now. Listen to me. This is God's logic. I think sometimes folks think when you get saved, you're supposed to stop thinking. No, that's when you start thinking. Amen. We're getting ready to talk about the mind here in verse number 2. Be ye transformed. Look at it there. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In verse number 3, he mentions the word think 3 times. Think, think, think. So, oh, I've got faith. I'm just going to let go and let God. Now, how about you letting go and thinking? Amen. Think, think with your mind. What mind? The transformed mind. The transformed mind. See, God changes your way of thinking when you present yourself unto him. He said, it's just your reasonable service. Now think about this. Does this sound logical? Does this sound reasonable to you? It does to me. There's a God in heaven who is holy and just, who made man. And he gave man parameters. And he said, you can do this, but now if you do that, the day that you do that, you're going to die. Man does it, he dies. And now, for his soul is consigned to an eternal hell and separation from God. God sees the need. He sends his son. His son goes to unfathomable suffering that we might be freed from sin. He dies on the cross. He's buried in a borrowed tomb. He rises again the third day. Glory to his name. And now he is seated on the right hand of God the Father, ever making intercession for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We call upon the name of God and he saves us. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. God saves us. You can't work your way to heaven. If you could, tell me how much you've got to do to get there. Where does that end? We're saved by grace. We read it in Ephesians chapter number 2. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by grace. Amen. That's just logical. That's why he said this is just a reasonable service. He says God's requesting something of you. In other words, God saved you. Why? So you can go to heaven. Amen. But God has more than that for you. God has more than that for me. God left me here. Why? The logical thing is because he has something for me to do for him. And so he's going to equip me to do it. That's just logic. Right? This is logic. And so he said, it's just a reasonable service. I challenge you, go home and take that phrase, reasonable service, logical ministry. That's what it means. God saved you because it's just logical that he has a ministry for you. God has something for you to do. Have you discovered it? Don't let yourself get in the way now. I've missed what God had for me to do because I let me get in the way of what God was wanting to do in my life. But I'm just as sure that God has called me to preach and God has called me to be the pastor of this church as I am that I'm going to heaven. Say, how sure are you going to heaven? I'm preparing to go there. I'm sending up treasures on the other side, amen? I'm going to heaven. You'll say, well, I'll be surprised if I get to heaven and don't see you there. Let me just put your mind at ease. Don't be surprised. I'm going to heaven. Amen. Not because of what I've done. I'm going to heaven because of what he's done. That's right. And if you make it, and you will if you're saved, it'll be because of what he's done. Right. Let me close this out. You ready? There's 3 words I want you to underline in your Bible, and I'll give you some words about them in verse number 2. We're now talking about results. What's the results? First word, you write it down, request or requested. God said, I have a request of you. There's something being requested of us. Number 2, reason. The reasons is that the mercies of God. It's just the reason that I ought to do what God has asked me to do. It pays to do what God said do. It's reasonable, but it pays to do what he said do. Number 3, requested. What's the request? Present your body. You want to come out on the right side of this thing of having a proper relationship with God and the Lordship of Christ? Just meet his requirements. Amen. Amen. Present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Number 4, it's just rational. It's just logical. It's just a reasonable service. In other words, it's just logical because God has done this that you would answer his request and do this. You had a request. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God answered it. If you're saved, amen? If you called on him, he saved you. And now he says, I've got something for you. It's just logical. It's reasonable. And then the final word that I want you to write down is results. What happens? Well, there's three words I want you to underline in your Bible in verse number 2. Number 1, conformed. You know what confirmation is? You know what it is to be conformed? I'm just going to give you a couple of little quick things here. And then we'll talk about transformed. Give me about 3 to 5 minutes here, all right? Don't tune me out. Confirmation. Transformation. Revelation. See that word prove? That you may prove? That word comes from the word revelation. God will reveal it. God will give you discernment to know it. That you may know something. That comes from revelation. That you may prove. That you may have something revealed to you. Everybody wants to know what is God's good and perfect and acceptable will for their life. God said, if you'll do what I say right here, I'm going to give it to you. Amen? You ready? He said, don't be conformed. Let me give you just a brief thing. I may go into this in more detail, may not. I'll just see. Another time, not today. But I do want you to get this. Please don't miss this. You know what the word conform means? It means to be kind of compressed into or to become like or to fit in a mold. See, the world wants to fit you in a mold. The world's way of conforming the believer is, write this verse, these verses of scripture down. Luke 17, verses 26 through 30, Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, and then he said, as the days of Lot were. Now, you know what he's saying in those verses of scripture? Luke 17, verse 26 through 30. He's saying, they just went on with life without God. See, that's the world's way. You just live your life without God. Just marry and give in marriage and eat and drink and build, right? Build cities, just go through life, but just leave God out. See, that's what the world wants you to do. That's what the world wants me to do. I read where this guy, I think his name's Dana White. Somebody help me that watches this UFC fighting, this MMA. Is his name Dana White? I just saw and I read an article where he said, and listen, I'm not throwing the man under the bus. I'm just telling you what he said. He said he's tired of hearing these athletes after they win an event give praise to God and glory to Jesus Christ. Well, put up with it. We put up with a lot of other stuff. Now, I personally don't watch the stuff. If you do, that's between you and God. But I'm going to tell you something. See, the world doesn't want to hear about Jesus, but they don't have a problem with us wanting to put on us about some guy who wants to be a gal who wants to put herself on a front page or something. Somebody say amen with me now. Hey, hey, hey. See, they don't have a problem with their way. They have a problem with our way. They have a problem with our God. That's who the problem's with. Amen. And I say that as believers, don't you let the world conform you and compress you and put you in a mold and tell you, you shut up about God, you shut up about Jesus. Don't you shut up about Jesus. You give glory to God. You give praise to God. Don't you be ashamed of our Lord. See, that's what they want. That's what they want, brethren. They want to shut our mouths. They want to stamp us out. They could and God would allow them, they'd shut us down. You listening to me? They want to conform you. The word conformed is very close related to transform. You know what the word transform means? It comes from the word metamorphosis. You know what happens to a cocoon, a caterpillar, a cocoon, and comes out a butterfly? It goes through a metamorphosis. The word transformed is taken from Matthew 17 where Jesus was transfigured. Can I tell you, when Jesus was walking through this world, that he didn't have a plate behind his head and he didn't have an aura around him? Listen to me now. Judas had to say, hey, that's him right there. You know why? He looked like the other disciples. That's him right there. Had to point him out. See, that's what the world wants you to do. Wants you to just fit in with the rest. But when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was transfigured. That inward came outward. That's what happens when you're transformed. That inner man breaks out on the outer man. Amen. That divine nature comes out on you. God comes out on you. Jesus sheds a light on you. And you begin to stick out for Jesus. The world doesn't want me. The world doesn't want you to stick out for Jesus. Amen. It wants to conform us and not us be transformed. But when you present, when I present myself to God this way, it's acceptable, and God will break out on me, and God will break out on you. And then the world will know. They take knowledge that we've been with Jesus. Amen. So he said, don't you be conformed. Don't you let them stuff you in a box now and shut you up. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, God will change your way of thinking. Amen. The renewing of your mind. God will change your perspective on life. What really matters. Listen, brethren. Things I used to think was real important, I don't think it's that important anymore. And things I used to didn't think was important, I find it mighty important now. Been transformed by the renewing of my mind. And as a result of that, as I close with this, revelation, that you may prove. It'll be revealed to you. There'll be a revelation. God will work in your life. You're doing it right, son. Just keep running. You're running well. Amen. You following me? You're running well, sister. Just keep running the race. Amen. You're running well. Just stay in that lane right there. You're doing good. That's right. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Stay in the Word. Keep giving out those tracts. Keep living for Jesus. Keep putting yourself under the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. Keep serving God. Keep utilizing that gift that God's given you. You just keep doing what God has given you to do. That's what God wants us all to do. Well, that's the message that God's laid on my heart. Had to bring it to an abrupt end there because I feel like that the time has passed. What scripture have we been given right here? There is so much. There's just so much in there. I feel so inadequate. God wants me to get this. He just doesn't want me to know it. He wants me to live it. He wants you to as well. Let's stand to our feet.